Okay, so a week like no other.
Yes.
Literally. So we are holding on Tesvav Amud Aleph. Second line down. And we have to do Tesvav and Tezayin today. Let's just see. Yeah. Okay, so let's get started. Here we go. Gufa. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Shmeina Asar Gazru. They made 18 gzeiros on that day. Ubishmeina Asar Nechliko. And those gzeiros didn't come easily. They argued about those gzeiros. Beis Hillel did not agree to any of them. Beis Shammai was the one who initiated all of them. And eventually, though, they voted, and Beis Hillel lost. Says the Gemara, they argued about them. Hatanya Hushuwe, which says that they agreed. The Gemara says, yeah, boy, on that day they argued. But Ulamacha, the next day, Hushuwe, they agreed. So here they are, going to visit somebody, not knowing how this visit would actually change Klal Yisrael forever. From now, because of this meeting, we all have to wash our hands before we eat. No, I'm saying, actually, not because of that, that's Kehanim had to. But a massive amount of gezeiros happened on this day. Gufa, Amar Mahuna, B'shloishim Mekaymes Nechliku, Shammai V'Hil, and the Shammai V'Hil themselves, though, only argued in three places. So we take a small break off listing the 18 things, and we're now going to quickly list the three places that Shammai and Hillel argue in. All right, Shammai Omer, Shammai says, this is Shammai and Hillel themselves, the Rosh Yeshiva themselves. Not the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel refers to their yeshivas. This is Shammai and Hillel themselves. Shammai v'Hillel, Shammai Omer, Mikav Chalom. If you have a dough that is kneaded from a measure of one kav of chal, of one kav, is chayiv in chalom. V'Hillel Omer, Hillel says, no, Mikabayim. Meaning, you need two calves in order to be chayav and chala. Like, I believe nowadays we say, exactly what this translates into to today's measure, I believe they say 16 cups maybe with a bracha and 8 cups without a bracha. I think that's what they say now. So what exactly it is in the measurements of back then, is a machleka. Shammai says a kav and Hillel says a kabayim. Neither of them are correct. Ella kavu mechza, exactly half in the middle, chayav bechala. When you make a dough of a kav and a mechza, that is where you're chayav in chala. Mishi higdilu hamidas. Now, that was a certain amount, like this amount. Mishi higdilu hamidas means when they upped the measures, meaning it used to be that this, that was called a kav. Now, this exact, in other words, the exact same amount, nobody's changing anything. The Rabbanan didn't change. This amount is chayav and chala. It used to be that this was called a kav. Then they said a kav, for example, it used to be that a dollar was 4 quarters. Then they changed it. No, a dollar is 5 quarters. So when they say a dollar, they always meant 4 quarters, but it used to be a dollar. Now they meant, okay, almost a dollar. In other words, the only thing that changed was the names. It was the semantics. Amru chameshes revoim, they say five quarters of kemach, which would be a 5 quarters, meaning a kav is made out of a lug. One kav is 4 lugin. One kav is 4 lugin. So instead of having now a kav and a mechza, now it was a kav and a quarter. But it was the same amount, it was just a kav and a quarter. It was always this amount of flour. It was just, it used to be, I'm trying to draw a cup here. So this is the cup. It used to be, it was always this amount. It used to be this was called a kav and a quarter and a half, 6 lugin. Now that they said a lug, instead of being one and a tenth of a liter, it's only 1 liter. In other words, the kav itself increased. So then they say it's one, they say it's five. They say that it is five fifth. It's one and a quarter, which is 5 lugin. Or 5 quarters. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Chamisha, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, if you do exactly 5 lugin, you're pturin. However, Chamisha va'oid, Chamisha and a drop, then you're chayavin. Okay? That's one machlekes between Shammai and Hillel. Another machlekes, v'idach. Hillel says, Meloi hin mayim she'uvin paislin es ha-mikvah. The amount of a hin, if you take a, if you go to a mikvah that is 39 saw, it has to be 40 saw, but if you go to a mikvah that's 39 saw, and you drop in, now we paskin three lugan, Hillel says a hin of mayim she'uvin is enough to ruin a mikvah, paislin es ha-mikvah. So the question is, we paskin, a hin is three kav. Because one hin is three kav. So why didn't he say three kav, which is a much more normal way to talk? Nobody uses the hin. It's like using the metric system in America. What are you saying? You pull up to a gas station in New Jersey, and you're like, can you fill it up? I'll take 10 liters. Like, what's a liter, sir? Why are we talking about liters when you're in America? So why is he talking about hins? So the answer is, says the Mishnah answers itself, Shechayev Adam Loimar B'Lashoyin Rabbi. A person is required to speak out the way he talks in the Lashon of his Rebbe. That's the way he's supposed to talk. So his Rebbe said leaders, so he says leaders. But he referred to the three kav. Shammai Omer, Shammai says, Tisha kav, nine kav. V'chachamim Omer, like neither of them. Atshe ba'u shnei gardiyim, until two weavers came, Shar HaAshba should be Yerushalayim, from the Shar HaAshba in Yerushalayim, right next to the Beis HaMikdash. V'he'idu, and they testified, Mishim Shammai V'Avtalian, in the names of Shammai V'Avtalian, and this is how we paskin, Sheshloi Shalugin Mayim Sheuvin Paislin Esam Mikvah, that three lugin of water, three lugin of water of will pass through the mikvah. The kiyamu chacham v'stavreim, and the chachamim established their psak as the correct psak, and that's how we paskin. We paskin three lugin of water destroy mikvah. Now let me just explain that this is specifically if the mikvah is not yet complete. Once you have a complete mikvah, 40 saw, you can add in as much water as you want, no problem. It's just if the mikvah is as of unyet complete, then you cannot. Then it will spoil the mikvah. Okay, and the third machlekes between Hillel and Shammai themselves. Again, these are the ones that they themselves have the machlekes. Is ve'idach Shammai amrim kol hanoshim dayon shaitan. So now the halacha is that a lady who becomes a Nida, she's obviously Tameh. Now, sometimes she's not informed that she's a Nida. She hasn't, she's just baking something, and after a while she goes to the bathroom and lo and behold, there's some dam there, there's some blood there. So she's like, oh, I'm a Nida. But when did she become a Nida? How far back do we have to go? Do we have to assume that all those cookies she just baked are Tameh? Because if she touched anything while she was a Nida, they're Tameh. So how far back do we have to go? Shammai says, we don't go back at all. And this is, by the way, the first four blot in Maseches Nida. And if you learn Maseches Nida in Kailul, it's the first 4 months of Nida. All to do with Chazakas and this and Umdenas. And this is, it's literally a huge, huge sugya about this Machlekes. So there's three reasons given for each of these opinions. And yeah, the whole Shav Shmaitza is written on this. It's a huge miktsaya. So Shammai says, Dayan Shaitan. Kol Anoshim Dayan Shaitan. Meaning, all women are only Dayan. It is enough, Shaitan, if you passel them from right now. And therefore, you don't go back the Mafreya. As soon as she finds the blood, that's when she's Tameh from. And you don't have to go anything the Mafreya. Hillel says, no. Bipkida lipkida. You have to go from the last time she did a bedika. So if the last time she checked herself was a month ago, then she's tummy everything that is done prior to that, to the last check, is tummy. Afilu liyamim harbe, even if it has been many days. But we don't paskin like either of those. Now, we don't really paskin like, this is not nogea us, because this is only nogea, tuma, and tahira. That's when it's nogeya. It's nogeya if she's matama anything. Now, nowadays, that everything is tummy. Anyways, we're all tummy mace and everything's tummy. So it's not really a shaila. It's not really a shaila, and everything is tummy anyways. So that means that we go with whatever is the smaller shear. Either you go to your last check, but if that's more than 24 hours ago, then we go to me'es le'es. So that's what it means. Ella me'es le'es, 24 hours is the maximum you're going to have to go back. So me'es le'es will be memayit, will minimize the time from your last check. But obviously, if you had a last check before 24 hours, then you go back to the last check. If 5 hours ago you checked, then you don't have to assume that it was that anything was a mistake. So me'pikida le'pikida goes back to it's the smaller shear between the last check or 24 hours. So the maximum you're going to have to wait is 24 hours back. Yeah.
Is like a negotiated resolution, or this is just something that was decided down the line that we're going to do this and this and this? It sounds like it's neither Hillel nor Shammai, and
right.
it's something really very much in between.
Yes.
Did they negotiate a resolution, or somebody decided down the line that this is the way that we are going to do it?
No, they didn't negotiate. They kept up with their thing.
Because Beis Hillel is taking the much more stringent view.
Right.
Beis Shammai is taking the much more lenient view for a change.
Right. So, it's just an opinion in the middle. They want it to be machmer, but not too machmer. So it was a third opinion. It was they're taking the two views into account, and negotiate, like you said, negotiating a middle ground.
Okay, thank you.
That's a good question. Yeah, they're not. It's not like siding with one of them. It's taking their opinion halfway.
So
okay.
What? In the Masifta, they bring down the reasoning for the Chachamim that's brought by Raji and Nida about that the Chachamim hold like Hillel,
yeah.
Except that they argue on how long the blood is maintained in the body before it comes out.
Okay. I mean, that's similar to what we're saying. It's, you know, yeah. they're negotiating a reason. Okay, says the Gemara, there are only three places that they argue. V'suleka, but there are other places. V'ha'ika. Hillel Oimer, Hillel says that if a person, this is talking about bringing karbanos on, Yantif, that lismaich v'shamay Oimer loy lismaich, sheloy lismaich. That the halacha is, the shaila is whether or not you're allowed to lean on an animal on Yontif. Now, why would you? Because it's a carbon. And generally, before a person brings a carbon, you have to lean on the carbon. It's part of the process of bringing a carbon. It's not ma'akev. If you don't do it, it's still kosher carbon, but it is part of the general process of bringing a carbon. So Hillel says you should lean on the carbon. However, Shammai says, and Hillel agrees that this is a problem, he just overrides it, is that on Yontif you can't use an animal. You're not allowed to ride on an animal on Yontif. And therefore, leaning on the animal, you have to lean your entire full weight on it. You have to put your full weight on the animal's head to really lean on it. It's not just a little like tap. So you could say maybe it's not. You're totally leaning on it. It's as if you're riding on it. And therefore, Shammai says it's not proper to lean. So we see that there is a machlekes about between the Rashi Yeshiva Shammai and Hillel. Says the Gemara, Kika Amar Rav Huna. When did Rav Huna say that there are only? So in other words, we found another place, a third place. The Gemara answers, "You're right. When did Rav Huna say this? Hecha deleka plugta de Rav Vasa b'hadayu." The Gemara says, "You're right. They do argue over there, but in that case, there are other people who argue about them. Because Yosi ben Yoyezer and Yosi ben Yochanan already had this machlekes in Meseches Chagiga. It was already a machlekes in Meseches Chagiga. So it was like, that wasn't their machlekes. Shammai and Hillel, who sided with different people who already had the machlekes, it's not called Shammai and Hillel arguing. Yeah, they did argue, but it's not. It wasn't called their machlekes. The Gemara brings down a fifth case. If somebody takes grapes and he uses it in order to put the grapes directly into the presser and he wants to use them to make wine, the question is, when you take off a grape to make some wine, sometimes it squirts out some juice and the juice will run over the grape. Does that juice make the grape wet? Nafkamina? Well, practically it does. But does that make it wet with regards to being mukhshar the kabel tuma? Shammai omer hukhshar, v'hil omer loy hukhshar. Shammai says that yes, it does become mukhshar. It does become ready from the in other words, like we know many times, we've seen that in order to be able to contract tuma, an item has to have become wet at least once in its life. And the question is this, and now this wetness has to be that it is a positive wetness. So, in other words, you want it to be there. So Shammai says, Hukshar, it is Hukshar. The Hillel Omer Loi Hukshar. Hillel says that you do not want it to become wet because you're losing this grape juice. You want all the grape juice inside the grapes to remain in the grapes until it gets into the wine press. By the fact that some of the grapes emit some liquid as you are pulling them off the vine, you're not pleased with that. So albeit practically it got wet, it's not considered real hechsher wet. So there is a machlekes. The Gemara answers, Bar minai dahi. Forget about that case. Dahasam kashasik lehilo l'shamay. Hillel eventually agreed to Shammai. Hillel himself agreed to Shammai. So the three cases that Hillel and Shammai argued with and remained arguing. Now we have a bomb kasha though. Because the Gemara before said that don't tell me it was Hillel and Shammai themselves, because it said that they only argued in three places. But if you're telling me now that the reason why Hillel agreed, that the reason why we're not listing this case is because Hillel agreed to Shammai, so then why couldn't you say that all 18 cases before Hillel agreed to Shammai? I'm not sure. All right, that's you hear the question? The Gemara before said that they only argued, don't tell me that the 18 cases are Hillel and Shammai themselves, because they only argued in three places. But we know by the 18 cases they did argue, and the next day they agreed. Now the Gemara is saying that the reason why we don't count this case in the part of the three is because Hillel agreed to Shammai. So maybe that's why he didn't count all 18. All right, I'm not sure.
Is this Gemara that we're just doing right now one of the issues that are part of the 18?
No.
Or is it separate?
It is separate.
Okay, so why are we talking about this? Because the three cases that they argued are specifically talking about the 18.
Yeah, no. The Gemara went off on a tangent and is listing the three that they argued, that Hillel and Shammai, the Rosh Yeshiva themselves, argued. It was only three cases the Gemara said. Now, tangentially, that we are bringing...
Out of those 18.
Well, those are not part of the 18.
No, there were only three out of the 18 that they argued about.
No. I don't think so. It was three separate.
It's following right... One statement is following right after the other.
Right, but I don't think these three were not part of them.
Ah, thank you. Okay.
So that's why I'm just wondering why it doesn't count this. But, okay. The Gemara continues. Yosi ben Yehezer ish tzreda. V'yosi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim gozru tuma al eretz ha'amim. Now, this again is another thing that's a tangent. The second tangent that we're going to tie up loose ends before we go back and visit the other 18. So Yosef ben Ezra, each third of Yosef ben Echon. So this was brought down because we were questioning, was it true that one of the 18 was Yodayim? Aye, it was part of this Braisa. Yodayim was already part of this Braisa. So since the Gemara brought down the Braisa, we're now revisiting it. This Braisa was brought down in Yodal and Beis. Yosef ben Ezra, each third of Yosef ben Echon, and each Yerushalayim gozer tum al Eretz Amim. They were gozer that Eretz Amim everywhere out of Eretz Yisrael is considered Tamei. That means, if you go to Chutz La'aretz, you're automatically Tamei Meis. You have to go through the Parah Aduma purifying process. Now, Ve Al Kli Zuchuchas. They were also Gezer on glass kelim.
How is a Kayin allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz?
That's a great question. That is a great question. If I remember correctly, it is dealt with on... It is dealt with in Maseches Nozir. Let me see if I can remember what he says there. What did he say? It's dealt with in Maseches Nozir, like... I have on my computer, so I'm going to be looking intently at the screen, but I'm not looking at you. One second. This is what the guys in my shir do later on in the day. Like, they're looking intently at the screen, and I'm like, so, what do you hold about this? And I'm like, hi, what do you hold about this? Like, I see in their glasses Ben Affleck and, you know, all these other... okay, let me just see. It's a great question. And then, like, you see their, like, their eyes, like, like focusing, like, oh! Like, what did you say, Rabbi? So, let's see here. You know, I'm actually just gonna, if I remember correctly, it's on, like, Daf Nun Zayin in Nazir. I think Gemara asks this. Let me see, why, how could a Kohen go to Chutz La'aretz? Because I'm going to leave it for now, but it's a great question. That is a great question. I think it says that they made. I think it says they made a specific thing not like that, a specific gezeirah. Specifically, they left them out of the gezeirah. There's another gezeirah there. Yeah, I have to look it up. Okay, excellent. Excellent question. Okay. Va'al kli zuchuchis. They also made a gzera that a glass keli is able to be mekabel tuma. Ay, v'ha rabbanan d'shmoinim shana, says the Gemara, the rabbanim of 80 years, which is 80 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. They set up a different Beis Din. So the rabbanim of that 80 years was gzera on it. The Amar of Kahana k'shachal Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. When Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi got sick, shalchulay. They sent him, Rebbe, Emor lanu shnayim u'shloish dvarim sha'amarta mishum avicha. Can you tell us two or three things that your father said that we haven't heard, that Rabbi Yaisi said? Sholach lehem, he said to them, ki kach amar Abba, my father said, mei u'shmoinim shana, 180 years, ad shaloi charev v'ayis, before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. This is the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni. Pashta, malchus harasha'a al Yisrael. That's at that point, that's when the Roman government started to rule over Klal Yisrael. Shmoinim shama ad shaloi charev v'ayis, 80 years before, Gazru Tum al Eretz Amim, they made a gzeira against of Tumah in Chutz La'aretz. The Al Kli Zuchuchis, Arboim Shona Achle Charav Abayis, 40 years before the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, Galsa LaSanhedrin, the Sanhedrin was Niglam V'yosh V'la Bachanyos, and they were no longer allowed in the Beis Mikdash. They had to set up shop in the back of somebody's store. L'mai Hilchasa. What's it no geya that they no longer were in the Beis HaMikdash? Because it used to be that the Sanhedrin was in the Beis HaMikdash. What's it no geya that they were in the Beis HaMikdash? Amrav Yitzchak Barav Dimi Loimar, to tell you, Shaloi Danu Dine Knossos. To tell you that they did not dan Dine Knossos. They no longer were able to give out fines. Says the Gemara, Dine Knossos? You think that they needed to do fines? In the Lishka Sukkos specifically, in the Beis HaMikdash specifically, Ella Ema. I mean, that's not really true. We know fines have nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin, and the Beis HaMikdash. they would be allowed. They did fines even after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Aleim Ashalei Danu Dinei Nefashos. They no longer allowed Klal Yisrael to judge Dinei Nefashos across the board. Even though generally you did not need the Sanhedrin HaGadol to don it, but you needed the Sanhedrin HaGadol to be open for a different Beis Din of 21 to don Dinei Nefashos. Aleim Ashalei Danu Dinei Nefashos. They didn't don Dinei Nefashos anymore. So now, v'chi teima that bishmoinim shana nami, and who have you? Maybe Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef Yisrael that lived during the Yosef ben Yezer lived during the 80 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So it's not a stira at all. I have a Tanya. We have a Braisa that Hillel Rabbi Shimon, Hillel, sorry, Shimon. We have a Braisa which says that the following people, this is the chain of the events, Hillel, v'Shimon, Gamliel, v'Shimon. So we have Rabbi Shimon, then we have Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, and then we have Rabbi Shimon and Gamliel. Nohagu nisi'osan lefnei habayis mea shana. They ruled over Klal Yisrael as the Nisiyim 100 years before the Bayis, Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So Hillel was 100 years before the Bayis Hamikdash was destroyed. He was taken over by Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon. He was taken over by Rabbi Gamliel, and he was taken over by Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, v'ilu Yosef ben Yehezer ish tzreda v'Yosef ben Yechanan have a kadmi tuba. They were much before this time. They were much before this time of 100 years. Hillel was already 100 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and Yosef ben Yehezer ish tzreda was way before that. So how can you tell me that it was the Rabbanim of 80 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? Ella, says the Gemara, Asu Inu, Yosef ben Yehezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, Gazur Agusha. They made a gezerah that if you touch the actual clumps of earth of Chutz La'aretz, then Lisreif, then the truma that touched it has to get burned. Va'avira, and if you go into the airspace of Chutz La'aretz, for example, you take a blimp there, or you are carried there on a wagon or something like that. V'leiklum, nothing happens. And then va'asu rabbanim d'shmeinim shana. Along came the rabbanim of shmeinim shana of 8 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And gazur ha'avira litlois. And they made it clear that if you go there somehow in the airspace, let's say in a wagon, and you don't touch the actual earth, then the truma will have to be hung, meaning the truma will have to be you don't burn it, you don't eat it. I'm just wondering, the reason why I'm pausing is because I'm just wondering if maybe the answer to your question is gufa that it's not a din in, you see, the thing I'm remembering from Nazir and Zion is a different Gemara that discusses that metal has a din, that it contracts whatever tumah it has, metal by mace. If a Rishon by mace touches metal, so it remains a Rishon. So the question is, what happens if an avi avos, if a dead body touches metal? Does that remain an avi avos?
That's true by Rishon.
What?
I don't think that's true by Rishon. I think it's only by an avi avos and an
av. No, I think it's davka by mace, but I think it is true by Rishon. But benkach u'benkach, the question is if it's true by an avi avos. Is it true by an avi avos or not? So it will become an avi avos, but does it have all the nafkaminas? That's machlekas rishonim. And Rav Chaim and the Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rav Chaim Cohen. And the question is, if it's true, then a Kohen really can't touch almost any metal. Because, you know, any time that a metal has ever touched a dead body, if it gets the status of the dead body, then how can a Kohen ever be in the same room as a piece of metal? Anytime a person wears glasses at a funeral, that a Kohen can never be in the same room as that. So there's a Machlokes whether or not. So there, the question is, how do Kohanim go around living? I think over there asks He asks Chutz La'aretz also, but now I'm thinking that maybe the real answer to this is not that, and rather it is... Okay, 1 second, give me a second. The question is, I'm just wondering if it's only Nogeya. Okay, yes, I'm not sure. I'm wondering if it's Davka Nogeya Truma. Because the truth is, everything here is Nogeya Truma Davka. That's probably the answer. It's Davka Nogeya Truma. This Kuzera was Davka Nogeya Truma. The Kachin, the Meklizor is later, it's Klum. Tosis asks the Kasha, what happened to the second part of Kli Zechuchas? Okay, I'm going to again put this question on the side, but now I'm thinking that it's Davka Nogeya Truma. Says the Gemara, Lememer the Chad Gzeir Tahavi. Is this to tell me that it was made in one Gzeira? That if you touch the Gush, that it was immediate. That the first time they made the Gzeira was that it's real Tuma, and that if you touch it, you automatically have to burn the Truma. Lememer the Chad Gzeir Tahavi. That in one Gzeira, they made the Gzeira all the way that it's the Sreifa. Bahama Ilfa says Yadayim, the Gzeira Trilas Gzeirasan Lusrefa. The first Gzeira that they made was that they took it all the way and they said it's gotta be burned. Yadayim who the Trilas Gzeiratan Lusrefa. Only Yadayim, when they originally made the Gzeira, they went all the way. They fed all 9 yards. That if your hand touches Truma without touching anything else, without getting washed, you have to burn the Truma. Hamidi Achrini, but any other Gezerah, like the Gezerah that they made on Eretz Amim, they did not immediately enact it with the full 9 yards. It went in steps, it went piecemeal. First they enacted that it's Litlois, and then they enacted L'Gzeirasa. And then they enacted that it has to be L'Sreifasa. So the Gemara says, Ella, so Hamidi Achrini Lai, says the Gemara, Ella, Asi Inhu. So the Gemara answers, okay, let's switch it up a drop. Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef Ish and Yosef ben Yochanan, they gozer agusha. Their original gezerah was against the actual clumps of earth. If you touch the earth of Chutz La'aretz, then litlois. You have to go ahead and burn and be toilet the truma. Meaning you don't burn it because it's not tamei d'oraisa, but you can't eat it anymore either. You have to just leave it there to rot. And the reason why you have to leave it there to rot is because you're not allowed to destroy it. You can't throw it out. You have to leave it there to rot. That's what it means to hang it. Va'avira, and if you go into the airspace of Chutz La'aretz v'loiklum, there's no gezeira. Va'asu Rabbanan d'shmeinim shana, and the Rabbanan of 80 years came along, and gozer agusha, they made a gezeira, anti the gush, touching the clumps. There, they upped that one gezeira from litlois to lisreif. And they upped the gezeira of Va'avira, they upped it from nothing to litlois. Questions the Gemara. Va'akati, I have another kasha. I'm still going to ask the following kasha. Really? It was nigzar by the Rabbanim of 80 years, but it was nigzar ba'usha. Ba'usha gozer. Because after the base of Mikdash was destroyed, the Sanhedrin was set up in many places. One of the stops was in Usha. And in Usha, they made 6 gezeiros. Tithnan, al shisha sfeikos, sarfen as a truma, because of 6 suffix. Beistin is burns the truma. Al suffix beis hapras. The halacha is that if you have a field that has somebody buried in there, and we are not sure where that person is buried, and you bring a teruma into that field, and there's a suffix. Maybe you went over the grave, maybe you didn't. That's a beis hapras. Va'al suffix offer haba me'eretz amim, and on a suffix of earth that comes from eretz chutz la'aretz. So, therefore, the halacha is anything that touches that might be touching tuma. Va'al suffix big de am haaretz. If a person touches the clothing of an am haaretz, the question is maybe his wife touched his clothes and made it tummy. So that's a suffix about his clothes. Va'al suffix kalim hanim tsoim, and a suffix with regards to kalim that are found, and we're not sure if they are tamei or tahar, if you find clothing that is tamei or tahar. Va'al suffik haroikin, if a person finds saliva in the street, who's not sure who spat it out. Va'al suffik meiragli adam, shekineged meiragli behema. If a person sees urine on the ground, and if it's animal urine, then it's tahar. If it's human urine, then it could be tummy. So there's a question, there's a suffix. First of all, so the Gemara is saying that if a person has human urine, so therefore it's got to be that it is, the Gemara says, even if you are sure that there's a pile of urine, there's a puddle of urine, and that second puddle you know is animal stuff. And the first one you're not sure about. I'm not sure if it's human urine, and even if it's human urine, maybe it's from a tahar guy. But nevertheless, on all these suffix, al vadai ma'gon, shehu suffix tumasan, even if you definitely touched these things, but you're a suffix if these things are tummy, nevertheless, surfen as a truma. You have to burn the truma. So again, I'm thinking, I see from here, that suffix tumas am haaretz is dafka nogeya truma. I don't think it's nogeya the isser. I'm pretty sure that's what comes out from Nozer also. It's not usser for kohanim to touch. It's only nogeya truma.
Pian truma is also pretty disgusting.
What?
Pian truma is pretty disgusting.
Yeah, okay, but the question is, do you have to burn it or not?
I mean, who would want to eat that?
First of all, you'd be surprised, but second of all, there's a bigger question, which is, do you have to, or are you allowed to burn it? Right? It's not, you can't just, if it's tame, you must burn it. If it's not tame, you are also to burn it. Now you might want to burn the person who did it also. But I'll tell you something else. You see, nowadays, we are not used to seeing urine in the street because we have, Baruch Hashem, invented running water and things like that. But back in the day, it wasn't as unusual to see urine in the street. And therefore, it wasn't as perhaps disgusting. Nevertheless, I agree with your sentiments, and I also would not eat such bread. Al vaday magoon. Yeah, she's suffering medicine, serving as a truma. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af al sveik magoon, even if you are a suffix if you touched it. You have the regular rules of tuma, which is Bereshus HaYachid Sarfen, which is in Bereshus HaYachid you have to get it burned. And Racham say no. If it's only a suffix, if you touched it or not, so then even in Bereshus HaYachid you let it, you're toiling it again, you hang it up, and you wait for it to rot, and Bereshus Rabim, you let it be tar. V'amar Ula, and Ula said, Elu Shisha Sfeikos, these six Sfeikos, and one of them was Ofer HaBav Me'eretz HaAmim, is Be'usha Hitzkina. They were Gezer this in Usha. So we see Usha was the place that they made this Gezerah in. Answers the Gemara, Ella Asu Inhu, Yais Ben Yezer, Yais Ben Yechanan, originally made the Gezerah Gazer Agusha. They made the Gezerah Agusha on the clump of earth, litlois, that if Truma touches it, you got to hang it up. Va'avira, and if the Truma goes in there with the blimp, v'leiklum, it's not aser. Va'aser Rabbanan d'shmanim shana, and the Rabbanan d'shmanim shana, they made a gzera. When I say that, by the way, that it's a made a gzera for Truma, I don't mean that the person can go in there. You will become tummy if you go into chutzlar, We are now Tuma, but it's only nogeya Truma. Meaning, if I go into chutzlaris, which I am right now, and I touch Truma in Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to be metama the Truma. But it's only nogeya Truma. It's not nogeya the hilchas of a kohen. Both of them are litlais, are to hang it, even if you go in there with a blimp. And they came in Usha, and they up the gezeira gazer agusha lisrif and va'avira, and with regards to going in there with a wagon, as it stood, it was, meaning it. They didn't change the gezeira. They left it that if you go in there with a wagon, you're only tamei. Litlis. Okay. Here we go. Now the Gemara discusses Kli Zuchuchis. Again, this is off the 18 things. Kli Zuchuchis is my time ago Zubu Rabbanan Tuma. Why did the Rabbanan make Tuma, say that it's Tuma, Tame? See, in the Torah, it says that a metal Keli is Mekabel Tuma, and a wooden Keli talks about being Mekabel Tuma. And it talks about a kli cheres, but it doesn't talk about a glass kli. So what about a glass kli? Why do the Rabbanan geyser on glass kelim? Amar b'yechanan, amar ish lakish, hayl utchilas b'riasan min hachol. Since the original creation of glass is from sand, so shavinu Rabbanan ke kli cheres. The Rabbanan treated it like a pottery keli, because it's very similar to pottery. They both are sourced in this type of material, says the Gemara. If it's true that it's like a pottery kli, elamiata lo tehela hen tahara b'mikvah. Why do we allow it to get tahara b'mikvah? Pottery kli kelim cannot be tar in the mikvah. You have to break them. Alamatanan ve'elu choytitzin b'kelim. The following things create a chatzitza if you put it into the mikvah. Hazefes v'hamor b'kli zuchokas. If you put on this like pitch, this type of pitch and this tar on, mor is like is a type of sticky sap that's like a sticky perfume, and zephyr.
Ritual is saying musk.
Musk, yeah, right. So, yeah, so it's a sticky musk is like this perfume type of thing, and it's in its ichor sense, it's sticky. So it will go ahead and stick to like if you can imagine a sap type of material, like you know sap that comes out of a tree. So it's a perfume type of thing, and zephis is this tar, this pitch, and if it goes onto a glass keli, so it's going to get stuck to the glass keli. And if you put the glass keli in the mikvah with these things on it, it is a chatzitza. That's what the Mishnah says. But what we see here is that you could put a glass keli in the mikvah. Says the Gemara, Halcha b'maya skinan, that Mishnah which says that a glass keli could be put into a mikvah is talking about where it got a hole. You're going to nikvu. It's talking about where the glass keli got a hole. Ve'hitif l'toichan aver, and you put it in there and lead in order to stop up the hole. So now it attains, the keli attains the status of a lead keli. Since that's the thing that's holding up the keli, it attains the status of a lead keli, and a lead keli is like metal; it can go into the mikvah. So that's why it is mutter to go into the mikvah. The Tanya, as we have a brisa, kli zuchuchas shenikvu. If you have a glass keli got a hole in it, v'hitav l'teich an aver, and you put in lead, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Meir matame. Rabbi Meir says it becomes tame. It's now able to be mekabel tuma min ha-Torah because it's like a lead keli. Chachamim mitarim, chachamim say it is tahar, meaning midyoraisa is tahar. Says the Gemara. So therefore, you're right. Actually, kli zuchuchis cannot go in the mikvah. Kli zechach ezes cannot go in the mikvah. Says the Gemara, Elameyata lo litame mikabon. If it's, so you're telling me what? Kli zechach ezes is still like a regular pottery kli. So lo litame mikabon. And kli zechach ezes should not be able to be mikabal tumah from its back. Just like a kli cheres can only be mikabal tumah when you put it inside of it. So to a glass keli should be like that. Alama tanan, why do we have a Mishnah? Kli cheres, the kli neser. If you have a pottery kli, or a kli that is made out of a different type of earth. Neser is a different type of earth. Tumasan shava. They have similar properties in becoming tamei. Mitam in, they are able to accept tuma. Umitamin, they are able to convey tuma. The way I always remember which one is which is mitamin. With a yud in there is MIT, and it's hard to get accepted to MIT. Mitamin, it accepts to me. Umitamin, it gives out to ma me avirehen from their glass, their inside, their airspace. And umitamin me acharen, and they're able to accept to ma from their outside. Now, this means that sometimes you have a keli that this is the bottom, and on top of it's another kli. What I've been doing during the other shiurim is drawing it, but I don't have a pen here today. So, you know how you have a keli that looks like this, and then on top of it has another keli, like the base of it, the base of your kiddush cup. The base of your kiddush cup. So if you flip your kiddush cup around, that's called, it does have a little place to put some liquid in there. That's called me'achareihem. That's what it means. Kli cheres is able to be mekabel tuma from that space, but ve'ein mitam in, they cannot accept tuma migabein from their backside, from on the outside of the keli. So if you have your keli here and the sheretz touches the outside of the cup, it's not going to be mekabel tuma at that point. Ushvirasan mitaharasan, and the breaking it is mitaharit. The way to be mitaharet is not by dipping it into a keli, into a mikvah. The way to be mitaharet is by breaking it. Kli neser v'kli cheres, says the Gemara. These type of pottery kelim is who the tumas and shava, is where the tuma is, the properties are similar. Avo midi achrini, but anything else is loy. It does not have the same properties. The Gemara answers, Amri, kevan dechi nishtabru, yesh lehem takana shavinu kli matkes. The Gemara answers, you know what? The reason why we... You're right. It's not exactly like kli cheres. It has a property that is similar to kli matches, and that is that it is fixable when it breaks. Since if it breaks, you are able to fix it. In that sense, it's more comparable to metal kalim. And now, I'm not sure exactly. If you smash a glass keli, how are you able to fix it? But maybe the glass back then was different. Maybe like the glass back then was like, nowadays we have much more finer ways to make glass. So lemaisa, it's maila, is its chisar, and then if it breaks, it shatters. But maybe back then it was like big clumps of, you know, like sort of like the glass that you find sometimes at the seashore. Where it's like, you know, it's like thick glass. If you break it, you just glue it back together. It's not like shattering. Like if you break a glass cup, there's no fixing it. So it's probably much thicker glass back then. And therefore, says the Gemara, since if it breaks, you can go ahead and fix it. With regards to going to the mikvah, the Chazal enacted that these cups have a status of kli matkes. Okay.